You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we get to continue our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series. We get to learn about national and international mission.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend James Baumgartner. He serves with the LCMS Office of International Mission as Manager of Pastoral Missionary Recruitment. Welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Hey, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Also joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Quentin Cundiff. He's the Director of Church Planting in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I should say welcome back.
Yeah.
You have been a guest before, but that was prior to your serving here at the International Center in the Office of National Mission. Prior to that, you were with our friend in International Mission serving in the field. So Welcome back to the International Center, and glad to get to talk with you now in your new role.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
So let's talk about your path to serving here. Well, let's talk specifically about your roles and what you do here at the LCMS International Center. Dr. Cundiff, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about what you do as Director of Church Planting.
So what we do with church planting is we work in partnership with districts and church plants. So that three-legged stool kind of partnership is very important to us. It's always a three-way relationship with the district and the church plant. We work with those church plants to provide them resources, training, tools to be able to come up with their idea for their church plant, to research the idea, and then execute that idea to have a new identifiably Lutheran church planted in their communities.
Very good. Pastor Baumgartner, what do you get to do here?
Somewhat in parallel, but on the international sphere, my role is to connect domestic pastors and church workers to our international field.
Okay. So let's talk about how you guys ended up where you are now. I'm sure there's stories behind how you got to be in these roles. Pastor Cundiff, let's start with you. What was your path to becoming the director of church planting?
Well, it is definitely the result of God's work over a long period of time. When I was in New Mexico serving there as a pastor, I was involved with a church plant in the Albuquerque area, and that was a very important kind of formative experience. Then when I got the call to go into international mission, I was working to train church planters who were working all over Europe in the seminary setting at Luther Academia in Riga. So when some family issues here in the United States necessitated us to come off the field, much to our own sorrow and the sorrow of our friends in LIM, we came back to the United States, but we were able to come back, and I really had a desire to stay connected with mission. And so this was a really good opportunity, and God saw fit to have me called here to serve with supporting church plants.
Fantastic. And Pastor Baumgartner, what's your story?
Yeah, I guess I'd start in 2013, well, I guess in 2012, took my congregation at the time on a short-term trip to the Philippines, and our Asia business director out there, he looked directly in my eyes and he said, "You should be a missionary." Took it home, talked to, and over the few months, prayed on it. And next thing we knew, in 2013, we were called missionaries to China. Spent 3 years total, 2013 to 2016, had to leave due to some health reasons with our daughter. I came back to the States and served in a parish in Alaska ever since. And loved Alaska, love that congregation up there. Just beautiful, beautiful people. But I think if anything was going to take me out of that setting, it'd be back into the mission story. And that's where I am. And I'm very blessed to be part of the story of, just spreading the gospel around the world with our Lutheran identity.
Dr. Cundiff, you've served internationally, nationally. I'm curious, what did you study for your doctorate? Like, how does that connect to what you're doing?
Yeah.
Sure. So my doctor is a doctor of ministry, and in that I have my doctor of ministry in pastoral leadership and counseling. So the doctor of ministry is the highest degree you can get for pastoral ministry. I'm currently also pursuing a PhD in missiology.
Of course you are.
And so my family jokes that I'll be Reverend Squared, but or Doctor Squared. But
that's great.
Yeah. So I'm doing that. And part of my reason for pursuing a PhD is the work in Riga. They needed extra PhDs on staff. and on faculty. So that set me down this path, and I knew that if I was going to get a PhD in missiology, I was going to stay connected with mission work for the rest of my life. So that's also kind of helping to bring me here as well.
How does that connect to the work that you're doing with church planting? How is that supporting the work that you're doing in the pastors and the congregations, the church plants that you're working with?
Sure. Yeah. So some of the things that I studied when I was doing my doctorate of ministry was looking at the importance of a solid liturgical sacramental life and how important that is in the lives of Christians. So that obviously plays into the work that our church plants do, but then also the solid missiology, I think, is really key, because if we do not have a really solid understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing it, we end up with just sort of a shotgun effect of just doing whatever we can and see what sticks to the wall. And that can sometimes create situations where you have strange practices, or we're doing things that don't always necessarily connect with our theology. So we want to make sure that we're very intentional about everything we're doing when we're talking about mission.
Absolutely. So Pastor Baumgartner, what is the need for pastors overseas, internationally now, and as you guys are looking forward into the future, planning for what will be happening on the fields, what is that need?
Yeah, it's always kind of a moving goalpost, I guess. If we look internally at like an organizational chart, I've probably got needs for about 30 different pastors across the world and all four regions. But, you know, and they serve in various different capacities, whether that's church planting or being a chaplain to our missionaries or being a theological educator or area facilitator or translation projects, all for that single focus, like Dr. Cundiff said, of, you know, spreading the gospel, planting Lutheran churches, and showing mercy, all focused on word and sacrament ministry.
When you were going through pastoral formation, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about your formation as pastors. Mm-hmm. What did that look like for you? When did you consider going to seminary and becoming a pastor?
Yeah. So I went to a Lutheran school from preschool through eighth grade, and it was one of my pastors at the time just consistently would randomly look me in the eye and say, "You should be a pastor." That's kind of a trend for me.
Yeah, it is.
You should be a pastor, and dismissed it for multiple years, right? Went all the way through Colorado State University, got a finance degree, and my senior year, God just kind of smacked me, and it finally stuck, and the Spirit spoke, and I was here in St. Louis at the seminary the very next year.
Wow. Okay.
What did that formation look like now, reflecting on that, having served as a pastor, a parish pastor, a missionary, and now a pastor who recruits other pastors? What did that formation look like? Did you think that you would be serving in so many different ways when you were a student at the seminary?
Oh, no, never. I'd say the formation looked a lot like me running consistently, but with people who have dedicated themselves to forming a relationship with me, just loving me along the way. You know, I see that in my role now, that it's not about just saying, "Hey, you want to be a missionary?" It's about the relationship, because it's a unique calling for sure to go abroad, and it needs an element of trust. It needs an element of candid joy and love, and just having those conversations for sure.
Dr. Cundiff, how about for you? What led you to consider going to seminary and that formation to become a pastor?
Well, I don't know if we have enough time to cover it in the remaining time that we have here, but to keep it very brief, I come from what would be kind of classically or textbook referred to as a broken home in American cultural parlance. My father and my mother there was no love loss between either of them. So I had a difficult growing up time, and my mother actually committed some pretty heinous sins that I really struggled to understand, to the point where I actually walked away from the faith for a number of years. I was very angry with God and took every opportunity I had to, you know, dissuade Christians, to mock them, to question them. And then God worked in the heart of my best friend, who became a Christian, and he just kept witnessing to me very faithfully. And I all the time just was saying, "Nope, get out of here with that. I don't want anything to do with it." And finally, one night, the Holy Spirit just just reignited my faith. And it was an incredible thing. There was no act of my will whatsoever. It was entirely God. And a couple of months after that, I was reading scripture and ran across a text in the Old Testament talking about the priests of God. And it was like, this is what I need to do. And for me, the thing that was really influential is not so much the, you know, the emotional stuff or anything like that, but I had really solid, faithful pastors who walked alongside me and who answered my questions. Because I was a young man who was coming back into faith after having a lot of anger, a lot of hurt. And I had faithful pastors who took the time to talk with me, to walk me through that stuff. And I had just these really faithful, solid mentor pastors from the moment that I came back into the church. And I came up to my pastor and I said, is it hard to write a sermon? And he said, why do you want to know? I think I want to be a pastor. But from that point until I graduated from seminary, I always had really wonderful pastors who took the time to talk with me and walk with me as I went through this.
That is a great story. And we have more to hear from the Reverend James Baumgartner and the Reverend Dr. Quentin Cundiff right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend James Baumgartner, with LCMS Office of International Mission, Manager of Pastoral Missionary Recruitment, and the Reverend Dr. Quentin Cundiff with LCMS Office of National Mission, Director of Church Planting, trying to get missionary in there one too many times. So we're talking about church planting and recruiting pastors to serve on the mission field, both things that are very exciting. You guys get to work with a lot of people, which I'm sure can be a very exciting thing day in and day out. Pastor Baumgartner, what exactly does an international missionary pastor do? You've mentioned a few things, so I have a feeling it's more than just one single thing that these pastors get to do.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I think what I mentioned, you know, we've got pastors that are focused on church planning. We've got pastors that are focused, Cundiff was, theological education. We've got pastors that are, you know, doing chaplain work with our missionaries. And yeah, just it's essentially domestic ministry, but in a different context, a different culture. And so you're adding that different level of intrigue and difficulty to it, in a sense. But yeah, in many ways, it looks domestic because we're in it for the same purpose.
So we've talked a little bit about the need. How hard does this mean you have to work? Who's the need for pastors to serve? Tell us a little bit about the team that you get to work with and what that looks like in terms of recruiting missionary pastors.
Yeah. We've got four people in our recruiting office. We've got a specialist that kind of runs the day-to-day, the protocols and the paperwork of everything and how it looks like. We've got my colleague who works with lay people in our synod, because we need people like business managers, volunteer coordinators, communication specialists, our director, Mark Raby. And then we've got our executive team. We've got missionary services, which like focuses on the care and the health and the well-being and the safety of all of our missionaries. Altogether, we've got about 16 different folks that are dedicating themselves to the love and support of our missionaries.
All right, Dr. Cundiff, let's talk about church planting and what that looks like. What's the goal or the vision for church planting?
So the goal for church planting is to see new Lutheran churches being planted in places in the United States where there is little to no LCMS Lutheran presence. We are seeing in the country right now a couple of things. The first thing that we've seen a lot of is we're a very mobile society, and lots of people have moved. every time that I've spoken about this in many different contexts, I always ask the question, how many of you grew up in the same town in which you were born? And very few people can raise their hand to that. And so then the next question is, how many of you have moved as an adult? Again, most people have. And so one of the things that that has created is a situation where there are lots of people who are disconnected from the church because they have moved to a place where there is no LCMS church, but they moved there because that was where their job went or they got married. There's lots of reasons why people move. And so we're seeing people becoming disconnected from that. But what that has done, though, is it has created some fertile ground for places where churches can now be planted, right? And I reflect on the book of Acts. It was the persecution that took place in Jerusalem that drove Christians out throughout the empire. And then when the church kind of came along, they found Christians there to work with to help plant these churches. That's kind of what we're seeing happen now. Additionally, the other thing that we're seeing is that there are many younger people who are saying, I want to be part of a church that takes the word of God seriously. I want to be part of a church that actually has something of value to say, something that has some depth, something that connects me to the ancient historical Christian church. And so when you put those two things together, we have a great opportunity to plant lots of new churches. And so that's really the effort that we're going through right now.
What does that look like for you and the team you work with? How do you go about identifying where those churches would be, what that process would look like, the people that would be involved on the ground? What does that look like for you in the work that you get to do?
Yeah, so the most important thing about that is the real work in terms of identifying those kinds of things do not happen at the synodical level, right? So we have, through the work of really helpful people in the Office of National Mission, especially Dr. Mark Greenwald, have some awesome maps that actually show the places in the country where if you look at, you know, where there's a large number of people who are Lutherans have moved there. Statistically, Lutherans have probably moved there. Places where there's not a lot of LCMS presence, places where there might just be a low Christian presence, places where you've got all these different variables. We can look at all of those and say, based on all of these variables, these locations might be good places to look at, but we do not, as the Office of National Mission, come in and just step off a plane and say, all right, we're going to plant a church here, right?
So this looks like a good place to plant a church.
Exactly. We're going to buy a building over here. But what happens is a couple of things. One, a district can say, hey, based on this information, we are going to work in this place and try to get a group of people together. So we see that. But the other thing that we see, and this is the really exciting part of this, is people reach out, right? There are people in communities who are already kind of sticking together or starting to think about this stuff. And they reach out to their district office. They reach out to us and they say, hey, we'd like to plant a church here. And so it's not about us doing anything. It is literally God giving the growth.
That's way better than the picture that I had in my head of Dr. Cundiff stepping off of a plane and grabbing a handful of soil and sniffing it and saying, this looks like a good place to plant a church. Way better plan.
Probably more successful too.
Yeah,
agreed. Sorry, did I steal your question?
No, it's all you. But you're thinking about picking up handfuls of dirt, so that's fine.
In an age with all the technology that we have, and we like to quite often just contract out everything to technology to do it for us. We were talking about this before we were on the air, right? Like how many things we can do with just one click now. In an age like that, why is it important for us to have local congregations? You were talking about people moving earlier and mm-hmm. having local congregations where they move because they're disconnected. Why is it so important to have local congregations rather than making use of all the technology that we have?
Mm-hmm. Because our Lord Jesus Christ was incarnated into the flesh, right? Jesus's ministry was not disembodied, right? It was Christ taking on human flesh to live amongst us, right? And that is the thing that has always driven the church. We are not a virtual gathering. I know in COVID we had to do what we had to do, but God calls his people to be together, right? The book of Hebrews reminds us to not give up gathering together. And that gathering is something that takes place in person. We gather together to hear the word. We gather together to sing his praise. We gather together to receive his body and blood in the sacrament. Those are things that we cannot do in a disembodied, disconnected way. And additionally, people know that that's necessary. There's been so much talk about the epidemic of loneliness that's happening in our society right now. And that's absolutely true. We are able, as the Christian church, to have something to say about that. We're able to say, if you are lonely, if you are disconnected, come, right? Gather together with people who believe the same thing that you believe, who worship the same God that you worship, and find fellowship and brotherhood with your people, right? And I think that's a message that is so desperately needed in our world today.
Well, ultimately, that's where our chief article of justification has to land. You know, to go back to what you said at the very beginning of this, kind of the scattershot approach of mission work, if we rely on anything outside of justification as it leads towards that physical presence of word and sacrament ministry, then we're just scattershotting. And that doesn't stick for the long term, for the long haul in people's lives.
Planting churches is one of those very important things on the mission field too. Going along with what Pastor Cundiff is saying, what does that look like for international pastors on the mission field, looking for places to plant Lutheran churches, looking for communities that would have a church? What does that look like for the pastors that are doing this on an international scale?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of church relations issues kind of fall into that, right?
Sure.
We don't want to step on toes, and we want to have proper relationships with church bodies around the world that we're in fellowship with. But also, like what you said, oftentimes Lutheran community will give the ask. And quite frequently, that's where, you know, we begin to direct our focus, for sure.
When someone asks, how many pastors do we need, that's how many we should make in terms of formation of pastors, what's your response? What's some helpful language that would help us respond to that question? I'd love to hear from both of you on that. We'll start with you, Pastor Baumgartner.
That's an interesting question. You know, I guess I'd go to like Romans 11, 34. You know, who knows the mind of the Lord? Why would we put a cap on the kingdom of God and assume that our limitations that we see before us are the limitations that God truly has in mind for his kingdom? So let's start with this eternal mindset of what he's doing, and let the chips fall as he directs them.
Dr. Cundiff?
Honestly, that's probably the best answer that could be given. I absolutely agree with my brother. The only thing I would add would be there's also value in us understanding that because Christ is the Lord of the church, we have seen already that he has worked in ways that we wouldn't expect. For example, in the 1930s, during the Great Depression, there were a number of new seminary candidates who graduated, and there was no calls for them because of the financial situation in the United States. That actually facilitated the planting of a bunch of new congregations, right? And so I think we need to be able to say that we have seen God's faithfulness in this in the past. Let's not put a cap on what God is able to do and simply do what he has given us to do. And what he's given us to do is to preach the gospel and make pastors. And so let's do that.
As we wrap up our time together, what else do you want our listeners to know about the area in which you guys get to work in church planting and recruiting pastors to go overseas? What would you like our listeners to know, Pastor Baumgartner?
Yeah, get involved domestically in your own congregation as far as short-term teams that are, you know, helping right alongside our missionaries. Get involved in a foro, which is a little bit more hands-on, in-depth ministries that we're doing internationally. That didn't make sense to local ministries internationally. You know what I mean? Because when you do so, it tears down the walls of the LCMS. You know, it's not a geographical church body that we have. We have a very blessed church body that is doing impactful things all around the world. And it is a joy to see the kingdom of God grow in that manner.
And when you do that, you just never know when a regional business manager might look you in the eye and say, You should be a missionary. You should be a missionary.
Never ever know. And where should people reach out or find more information about International Mission if they're interested?
Easy one, international.lcms.org.
Perfect. And Pastor Cundiff, what would you like people to know about church planting?
I think the thing that I would want people to take away is this is not something that requires someone to be this uber awesome, super cool Christian person. Mission is something that can be done by anyone. We do this as we carry out our vocations. As Pastor Baumgartner said, even International Mission is its ministry, just in a different context. Church planting for pastors in particular is ministry, just with a specific kind of bend to it. And for lay people who want to be involved as well, it's an opportunity to use the various gifts that they've been given to serve Christ and his church. It's not something that requires everyone to be this biblical character, right? They can just simply come as they are and find a place where they can participate.
Yeah. And where can people find more information about LCMS church planting?
Well, I would suggest that if people are really interested in wanting to learn more, I would invite them to email us at church.planting@lcms.org.
Church.planting, is that right? At lcms.org. Got it. Church.planting@lcms.org. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Quentin Cundiff, he's Director of Church Planting in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And the Reverend James Baumgartner, he's Manager of Pastoral Missionary Recruitment in the LCMS Office of International Mission. Thanks so much for joining us.
It was a joy.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.